A new report aims to serve as a resource to make it easier for people with autism and other cognitive disabilities to find a place to live. A place in the world includes more than 150 terms to help guide people to better understand housing preferences, accessibility needs, supportive amenities, and service delivery models. Lack of housing, specifically affordable housing, is a major concern not just in Arizona, but around the country. And Denise Resnick thinks this new guide can help. She's founder, president, and CEO of First Place and the mother of a 29-year-old son with autism. I spoke with her recently and started the conversation with what a place in the world is and what she hopes people will learn from it.
A place in the world is a path forward for how we build a new marketplace of options for people with autism and other neurodiversities. For so long, we haven't even been able to speak the same language in terms of what we mean, in terms of what we want for ourselves or our loved ones. And, you know, a disability doesn't define what somebody needs or wants or prefers in their housing. Just like senior housing, when you think about where we were 50, 60 years ago with senior housing in our state, we had one option, and that was Sun City for retirees. And now fast forward, we have all these different locations and price points, amenities and services, because being a senior doesn't tell somebody what they need or want in their housing. And neither does having autism or Down syndrome or traumatic brain injury.
So are you talking about kind of a dictionary or a glossary kind of situation where developers and builders and other people in the residential space who maybe don't quite understand some of these issues might be able to understand what it is that folks in your world are talking about, which would then enable them to maybe produce more residential options for people with those disabilities?
Beautifully stated, we are introducing more than 150 terms that help guide people to better understand housing preference, accessibility needs, supportive amenities, service delivery models, and more. And it's really designed to bring more people together, better understanding how we describe what we need and conveying that to a marketplace that can deliver.
When you look at the problem of there not being enough housing and affordable housing for this population, how big of a problem is the fact that people who produce the housing just don't really understand their needs and their wants?
We realize there is an affordable housing crisis throughout Arizona and across the country. And that is also a crisis represented for housing for special populations, specifically the largest segment of that population, which are people with autism. We have an entire generation of children with autism transitioning to adulthood with few options, with disjointed services and delivery models, and with parents who are aging. And as a result, we sadly have an increasing number of people becoming homeless.
But I guess in terms of trying to fix that problem, how big of a dent in that do you think that just sort of raising the awareness and the understanding can make?
It's just the first step. The first step is that we need more options. We need to better understand what's working and for whom and what needs to be working better. We need to be able to collect data that informs where we go next, not only with the delivery of housing options, but also with public policy support.
Well, how do you think you try to do that? I mean, how do you try to make this the kind of project that a developer would want to get on board with and do?
We have to demonstrate what's possible, and seeing is believing. And that's why we developed First Place. First Place is an 81,000 square foot property right in the heart of our city, very visible. And we have the capacity of 75 people who will be living here at First Place. Right now, we're at about 70% occupied. And by demonstrating in the year ahead that we are not only financially sustainable, but have a path toward replicability and scalability, we believe that's a huge help to the industry. You know, it reminds me in so many ways about our son who has struggled through all of his years to help us understand what he needs and what he wants, because he doesn't have the language to be able to provide that.
How much flexibility do you think that a project like this needs to have, understanding that, you know, not every adult with autism has the same needs or wants or abilities, or, you know, you could say the same for any of the other developmental disabilities that you're talking about here. So I would imagine it can't just be a one size fits all kind of thing.
It is definitely not a one size fits all approach. However, at the end of the day, and after delving into all these different design goals and guidelines that we researched and explored and have applied here to First Place, good design is just good design. And we don't have to think very hard about those curb cuts. Those curb cuts that were a requirement through the ADA that made things more accessible for people who required them because of mobility issues, but they're good for all of us. And good design that includes lighting and natural light and sound attenuation and open spaces and places where people can connect, get out of their homes and find other people to connect with and share interests. And so we found that, you know, housing for special populations can definitely be integrated into the current housing that's being developed and into what we hope will be affordable housing 2.0. And so we want more developers, when they create new affordable housing, to think about special populations as being a valued component of their mix of who they're wanting to serve and who they can serve.
All right. That is Denise Resnick. She is founder, president, and CEO of First Place Arizona. Denise, thanks for your time. It was nice to talk to you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark.